you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Wednesday, October 5th, 2016. Welcome, Jason Schiffo, Pastor Jason Schiffo, to Pastor Appreciation Month.
Oh, is it Pastor Appreciation
Month? Yeah, in fact, I did a reading yesterday. Someone that works at Judah Christian School, he had emailed out to, I think, the parents. He's kind of in charge of their spiritual formation. His name's David Monreal. Do you know David? Have you met him?
No.
I guess through some divine appointments, he ended up in this area. He's a pastor or is in a transitional time seeking God. I don't know. For whatever reason, got called to teach computer at Judah Christian, and I think helps out with spiritual formation and is working on a doctorate in pastoral counseling. I think he has his Master's of Divinity from Trinity Evangelical Divinity School. But anyways, he sent out this email, and he wanted to alert the parents of many of the students. I don't know if this went to everyone, but basically saying, hey, October is Pastor Appreciation Month. And so yesterday I read, I think it was about 20, I still have them in front of me here, like 20 different things that people can do to honor their pastor throughout this month. So
where's that list?
Yeah. We might want to add to it, but I was thinking about that being a Pastor's Appreciation Month. And so love on our pastors, appreciate them. And he talked about being in that pastoral role for, I think, 2 decades. Those words of encouragement, those handwritten notes, those gift cards, all those are necessary and needed because you toil and pray up and, you know, seek the Lord. And first and foremost, your calling is to serve him and proclaim and divide his word. But it does help to have some kind of feedback and at least hear that maybe it's making a difference or people are feeling convicted by the message and want to grow or change or develop or serve. And so for a pastor to hear that, I think, is reaffirming your calling, if you will. I mean, sometimes it's like, yes, that's right. This is why I'm doing what I'm doing, to bring a glory to God and yet, you know, hopefully help people to grow. Anyways, remember your pastor throughout this month. And I want to remember one of our listeners. Jason, as you came into the studio moments ago, I said, Beverly Lane, a longtime listener and supporter and friend of this ministry, she's moving out, I think, this Saturday, October 8th. And I got this letter, I don't know, let's see, it looks like postmarked August 31st. So I've had it for a little while. But I just was rereading some of the letters, and I thought I wanted to share this with our listeners because she's had a strategic or a special role in many of our humanitarian mission trips to Israel. And before I read her letter, do you see my big pile of listener letters here? This is just a sampling of some
huge
of the ones. Well, I got this new idea. So I want to share it with everyone because I think it's
whenever you get a new idea, it's always fun.
Yeah, I get excited about it too. You know, when the new studio gets up and running, hopefully that'll be about a month, within a month, we get the studio all set at Lincoln Square. Well, I was thinking from time to time when someone stops in, I'm going to pull them in and say, hey, let's do the mailbag program, and I'll have them assist me in reading the listener letters. So it's not just me reading listener letters. I can say, hey, Jason, as you stop by, let's cover some of these listener letters. So I'm hoping in the days ahead to get some of our listeners involved in the listener reading of their mail. So that'd be kind of a fun thing to be able to do. So, okay, so this is from Bev Lane from Paxton, Illinois, and I'll just read it through its entirety and then comment later. You know, I could get distracted, turn this like 2-minute little message into a half hour program. But she says, hi, Mark, I've been wanting to write you for some time. Wow, with double exclamation marks and smiley faces. So many blessings on you and the radio station. I've been listening to WGNN for 15 years and was so honored to have some of my work brought to Israel through you. Thank you. Every morning lately, it seems like you have a new God sighting. I am so happy / thrilled that you now have a place for everything at Lincoln Mall. The opportunities will be endless there. Praise God. I will be hearing about your news in a different way soon. On October 8th, I will be moving in with one of my daughters in, I think it's Tomac, Wisconsin. I am, as well as Cheryl's family, looking forward to this. God orchestrated this move, as I would never have come up with such a big move on my own. Tomac is near the Wisconsin Dells. I know God will continue to bless you all in Christ's love, Bev. And, you know, it's a nice little flowered, I don't know, do you know any of these flowers? Like, you know, it's just
it's
like
out of my wheelhouse,
blue,
buddy.
Yeah, blue, red, you know.
Yeah, clutch of colors.
Yeah, very colorful.
Green.
Floral.
Yeah.
Arrangement. But Bev, we are going to miss you. And I don't know, 3 or 4 different Israel trips. She knitted and sewed, and people dropped off dozens of yards of fabric. And she integrates them into like tote bags. And one of those softy, it's like a, where you cling on, like Linus has that little blanket.
Yeah,
that,
Blankie,
yeah. I think she's made these blankies and a host of other things that we've taken over to Israel and given out to children and staff workers in the hospital. Mm. So we appreciate the ministry that Bev has had. And it's not only for our trips to Israel. I think she's helped a number of other ministry organizations like that have served in Haiti and other places where she has this sewing ministry. I think has 4 or 5 different sewing machines in a little workshop in her home and has served many different organizations. So you're going to be missed, Bev, but I'm hoping you can get streaming audio there in Wisconsin and you'll continue to be a part of our radio listening family. So, isn't it neat how people can use their various gifts to serve the kingdom, whether it's somebody that doesn't have resources but has time or energy and has a talent like sewing, and then people over the years have dropped off material or different things, threads, and I think at one point her church raised funds to get her a new sewing machine, so it's been a God-honoring story on how she's used her time and gifts, and other people it might be they babysit. Pastor Appreciation Month, it'd be a good time to, you know, watch over the children.
Kids.
Yeah. Or, you know, they have a talent where they earn money, they make money, and they use those resources for kingdom purposes or a host of other things. Maybe they can paint or they're a handy person. And, you know, I know at the Community Evangelical Free Church, you have people that cut the grass, you know, show up on a Saturday and ride the range, run the mower, and maintenance workers. I mean, there's so many different things that God has gifted us or given us the abilities to do that we can turn around and help others with them.
Yeah. Well, God wants to take our gifts and use them and release them for the kingdom. And I think that sometimes many of us believe that only our gifts as pertain directly to ministry must be the ones that are God glorifying. You know, like teaching a Bible study, leading prayer, leading a devotion, preaching, being in the worship band. Those are the only things that maybe we see as ministry. You know, we could be mowing the lawn and stop in the middle of that and talk to our neighbor about things of the gospel. I mean, as Christians, shouldn't our conversations always be peppered with things about Jesus Christ? Because that's the most important thing in our life. That's who we believe gives us life and breath in all that we do. And so there is a way to mow the lawn that is God glorifying, and there is a way to mow the lawn that is not. And I mean, if you mow the lawn and you're just mad that you have to mow the lawn and you're just, you know, I mean, you know, kind of push the lawnmower and, you know, curse the grass and, you know, just that you have to do it in the first place. Or, you know, there is actually a way in that you could probably mow the lawn and say, you know what, Lord, it's just amazing how you grow the grass and it's amazing how fast it grows. And Father, you know, just help me to be more attentive, to cut it more often so that I don't get frustrated. Lord, help me with my frustration in this moment. And so there's a way to use our gifts, to use what we have to glorify God. And I think sometimes we don't, because I think that we have taken ministry. And I think that, you know, you talk about Pastor Appreciation Month, and I'm not a big fan of Pastor Appreciation Month. I'll just tell you that, only because I think that, you know, we should just appreciate one another, love one another all year long.
Yeah.
And so as a pastor, I would just throw this out. If we wait till October to encourage our pastor, he's already in the ditch.
Yeah.
I mean, he's already really struggling, and 30 days is not going to pull him back out. And so we should encourage one. And then I'm just talking about Pastor Appreciation Month. I'm talking about any of those. And I may rattle a few cages right now, but I feel the same way like for Black History Month or those kinds of things. I think, gosh, you know, wouldn't we want to celebrate the things that African Americans have done in our midst all year long? Mm-hmm. You know, and thank God for the ways that he's used a diversity of people to help us to become better, to become different, to become more loving, and to become more gracious. And so I'm not a fan of when we take anything and kind of lump it into one month, because I think the natural human inclination is to say, well, now it's that month, but then when that, you know, we hit the 31st day or the 30th day or however that month ends, we just shut it back off.
Right, right.
We're like, well, that's done, thank goodness. I really didn't like encouraging those people anyways, or that yeah. person anyways. And so I think that we should use those gifts all year long, because the main gift that we're supposed to have, the main gift that God has us to use, is the gift of encouragement, the gift of blessing, the gift of loving is really what the Bible says. The Bible says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, your muchness, all your chutzpah, all that you have. Love God with all that you have. And then what? Love your brother as yourself. And so sometimes when we don't love our brother and we don't encourage our brother, it really says something about our own condition, that we don't feel awfully lovable. We don't feel like we want love. Maybe we're bristling at the thought of doing that. So certainly we're not going to love our brother. And yet we're supposed to start with God and remember how much God loved us. I mean, it doesn't shock me, and I don't think it was by human design, that young children learn John 3:16 as one of their first verses, because we really need to hold on to the fact that God so loved the world. And people will tell me, you know, what is the most important word in that verse? I think the word so is the most important, because so shows the nature, the abundance of how much God loved us, that he so loved us that he sent his son. And we need to remember that, because then we need to go and so love one another and so encourage one another. Because the days are long and the days are hard, if we can all admit that, and they're frustrating and they're filled with all kinds of things. And so all of us need a great amount of encouragement. And if we wait to give encouragement till ministry moments, then we're not going to encourage people enough, and we're not going to love people enough, and we're not going to make any of those things happen that we call to do. But if we see every bit of life as a ministry moment, if we see a place where we can release and use our gifts to bless and encourage others, I think we're going to live quite differently. I mean, I think if we're always have an ear towards, you know, how can I love and serve the people in my neighborhood? Not just when I'm going to go over there and go, hey, do you know who Jesus Christ is? He's your Lord and Savior, died for you. I mean, if we can go over there and just be like, you know what? I just saw you were raking your lawn, and, you know, I'd love to come and help you. And, you know, you never know. I mean, one time I remember raking my lawn, and my neighbor came over, and he helped me. He taught me a lesson. It's funny, because he wasn't even a believer. He taught me a lesson. He came over and he said, you know, you got a big lawn. And it was funny, because we were renting at the time. So he's like, you know, and I know you're renting, so, you know, you probably don't even want to do this. You know, it's different if you own the land, but if you don't own the land, you really don't want to do it. And I'm, you know, I kind of shrugged my shoulders like, yeah, well, you know, that's you really make a good point. But he came over and he said, you know, let me give you a hand. So he helped me for about 15 or 20 minutes, and we had a great conversation. And then he went over and kept raking his lawn. And I said, you know, Lord, I'm going to go over there and rake his lawn with him. And that was the beginning of a great kind of neighborhood friendship. Never got really deep. It never really – but, you know, I was able to encourage him, and he was able to encourage me. And we were able to kind of broke down what Ephesians says is the dividing wall of hostility, the barrier there. And knowing that Christ came – because Christ says that Christ came to those who were far and those who were near, and all had access to the Father through one Spirit. And so maybe as Christ sends you far and near, you offer to people access to the Spirit. But it's not because you're doing church, or it's not because – it's because you're just releasing the gifts that God's given you.
Yeah, it's not just Evangelism Sunday. So this Sunday, just right. This one day, we go out and evangelize. I'm always mindful of that Colossians verse, you know, we've talked about 3:23, you know, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, is working for the Lord, not for men, for his Lord Christ you are serving. And, you know, whatever you do, like I said, whether it's raking leaves or preaching or preparing a message or making a lunch for a neighborhood kid, or, you know, all those various ways we can serve.
Yeah, so I think we just got to be cognizant that our gifts, no matter how big or how small, are used to glorify God. And in that, you know, God will be made evident at times, you know, when the time is right and the doors are open through our word and through our speech. But it'll be evident if you're a Christian and Christ marks your life and the marks of Christ are on your life and you're a reflection of him. People will see that. People will see that and they'll know it. I mean, your neighbor, let's just do this. We'll do like the ground floor kind of thing. Your neighbor should know that you're a Christian. Mm-hmm. If I came to your block and I kind of went house to house and said, hey, you know, is Tom and Sally Chris? And I don't know if Tom and Sally are listening. They're imaginary people. This is fictitious. Yeah. But if there is a Tom and Sally right now going, oh, he knows us, then yeah, I'm sorry. But if I went to Tom and Sally's block and went door to door and I said, hey, do you guys know that Tom and Sally are Christian? If some of your neighbors were to say no, then listen, I think we're missing the mark in our mission field, because anywhere the Apostle Paul went, people knew he was a Christian. They knew it because of whether in, what did he say, word or deed, he was declaring Jesus Christ. And so people don't need to just know what you believe. They need to know the strength in which you come in. And so we need to be known as people who do that. And the Bible's really clear. Doesn't Jesus say, don't hide your light under a bushel, don't put it under a bed, but let your light shine before men?
Yeah, what is that saying? Is there enough evidence to indict you for being
right.
a Christian?
Oh, exactly. Exactly. And Jesus uses that language often of witness, of somebody who is testifying to making a how do we want to say that? Making a defense on behalf of. And so that's what we're called to do. And so what we need to do is to make sure that everybody in the courtroom of life, and the courtroom of life would be your neighborhood, everybody within your neighborhood knows who you are. And if that isn't true, if you right now are listening and you're going, you know what, I'm not sure if everybody knows, then maybe you need to somehow just say, you know, Lord, how will my light shine? You know, maybe I am, you know, frustrated, and maybe I don't mow the lawn to the glory of God, and maybe that is evident to my neighbors, and maybe I don't parent my, you know, maybe I'm out in front of my house, and I'm like, God, get this stuff out, clean this stuff up, slow down on that, but get out of the street. You know, maybe, and, you know, some of you guys are like, wow, that sounds biographical. Yeah, it is. Maybe I'm not allowing my light to shine in a way that glorifies Christ, because there's a way that I parent my kids which glorifies Christ. I mean, any of you who are parents know about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, because you have to lean in like nobody's business, because you're like in that space between choking them and praying for them.
Yeah.
You know, continually, because it's just hard. And I have four, so it's exaggerated. I know some family that's like 10 kids. And I thought, oh, my gosh. It was interesting because the woman in that family, I don't even know if you should share this, but I will. Woman in his family was having some issues with her heart. And she sent me a message. I visited her in hospital in the morning, sent me a message in the afternoon. And she said, they've scheduled me for a stress test. I'm going to take it tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. I said, your life is a stress test.
Yeah.
You have 10 kids. You do not need to worry about getting a stress test.
Yeah, you could just tell them, yes, I am under stress.
Just schedule you another night in the hotel hospital and do that. But all that to say that look at whatever God has, and God has gifted every single one. For you, maybe you're a listener and you're saying, you know what, you know, I don't even know what my gifts are. I don't have any. That's bunk. Everybody has gifts. You just are not sure how you use the gifts that you have. Or some of us feel guilty of the gifts we have. The gifts that you have are beautiful. Maybe your gift is you love to read books. And somehow, you know, how do you do that and share it with other people? How do you be a blessing to other people? However, maybe you write a letter to the author. You're a blessing to him or her or whoever that is. There are a myriad of ways that you can utilize your gifts for the glory of God. And it reminded me of this morning when I was doing my devotional reading. In Revelation, in chapter 4, John is kind of whisked up in the spirit to heaven. And up there, he sees, it says, around the throne, on each side of the throne, were four living creatures full of eyes, front and behind. The first living creature like a lion, the second living creature like an ox, the third living creature with the face of a man, and the fourth living creature like an eagle in flight. You know what all that means? Some of you are going, wait, what is this? Sounds like Harry Potter, or this sounds like Narnia. This is what it means. You don't understand it. What's happening around the throne of God is almost incomprehensible. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings and are full of eyes all around within, and day and night, they never cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. What a magnificent sentence, because it defines for us who God is, both in power and stature and might and in mercy. But at the same time, it also defines the entire Bible for us, who was and is to come. It tells us that the whole counsel of God is God's word. And what does it drive these creatures to do? It drives them to worship. In verse 9, and whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who is seated on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are you, our Lord, our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." So listen, all things were created by his will. That means the giftings and the beauty and all those kinds. That's what the Bible says, you're wonderfully and beautifully made. That's why the world seeks to sell you beauty products and tell you that you're not beautiful, because the world is always operating counter to what God says. And God says you are wonderfully and beautifully made. And so that means that we're no longer defined by our weight. We're no longer defined by our height. We're no longer defined by our hair color. We're no longer defined by any of that. We're defined by God and of God only. And because when you define yourself by what God, how God has made you and gifted you, then suddenly he receives glory and honor. Because you're lifting up and you're praising him. And listen, as the world kind of crashes in on us and tells us that we're not gifted enough, we're not good enough, we have to lean in more to God. Because God has to be the one who consistently kind of defines against all of those other crazy messages that we would seek. And look, at you're not going to do any of that. That's why I think this verse is so important. You're not going to do any of that unless you believe God is worthy. Unless you say, "Worthy are you, O Lord." You know, you're mowing the lawn. Worthy are you, Lord, to deliver me from my frustration in this moment. Worthy are you, Lord, to help me to be more attentive to the lawn. I'm trying to pick a really low common denominator here. Worthy are you, Lord, to help me be a light in front of my neighbors. Worthy are you, Lord, to give me the patience to help to parent my kids better. Worthy are you, Lord, to give me the listening ears so that I hear what their little voices say. Worthy are you, Lord, to help me to love my wife when she frustrates me. Worthy are you, Lord. And we need to say that, because those words suddenly cancel out all the other things. Because what are we doing? We're calling on the higher power. We're calling on the greatest power. And if we don't do that, sure, lesser powers are going to try and grab a hold of our ears. But we say, "Look at Lord, we believe you are worthy." And some of you are wearing lesser crowns. Some of you are wearing lesser crowns. And you need to take the example of the elders here who cast down their crowns. And they say there's only one crown that we will wear, and that crown is the victory crown that was gained for us through Christ.
I love that comment you just made. Worthy is the Lamb. And I'll close out with a song, "Worthy is the Lamb." And I love this passage. I'm going to write this down for the singing men. Verse 8 of chapter 4. "Day and night they never stop saying, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come.'" And our singing men CD, "Holy, holy, holy," right here.
And you can yell at them. You can be like, "Hey, you creatures."
Yeah. "They never stop saying." I wish it said they never stop singing. Because then I'd really fit. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.